RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Drag performers Sunita Torrance and Daniel Lockett are suing Destiny Church leader Brian Tamaki for $2 million, citing defamation, breach of contract, conspiracy to injure, and unlawful means conspiracy following protests against their library Storytime events. And they say, well, they allege, that Tamaki and Destiny Church's actions forced the cancellation of their shows and negatively impacted their business, leading Erica Flash to move to London due to threats. So we thought it would be a good time to catch up with this case from the perspective of Brian Tamaki and Destiny Church. He joins us now. Thanks for joining us. As of this day, Brian, where is this action against you? Where is it at?
Yeah, well, what a hilarious clown show. Been served a thick amount of papers like that, all in the name of shutting their business down, they called it. If it's a bona fide business, and actually drag queens who are sexualizing their kids in storytelling times in libraries. So that's basically where it starts and ends.
Right. Okay, so they're going for $2 million, as I understand. How do you think they got to that?
I'm worth more than that.
Okay.
No, look, I don't know. I don't think they're making that much money at all. I don't know really whether that business is valid again. But that's the price they've put on it. And I think it's a move that they're making to try and muster up some support from certain people in certain communities to rail on us because we're bringing this out into the open, the narrative to the general population of New Zealand, that this whole transgenderism is worse than we think. And we're eyeballs deep in it in this country, our schools particularly, and now they work undercover. Teachers working sometimes with the rainbow community, and a lot of parents do not know what's going on at schools, what they're doing with all sorts of activities in there. They know now they've got to be on the low, but it's happening. And we still have the RECs in schools, Relationship Sexuality Education. Government has not even bothered to revisit that, as you have noticed. And there was some noises made before the election that they would get rid of that, and they haven't, and I don't think that they have the stomach to do it, to be honest.
Well, why do you think that is?
Because National is riddled with the LGBT community. The young Nats, LGBTQI plus, more than friendly, they're overwhelmed with it. Then you have the actual leadership of National Party, who are well and truly into the LGBTQI plus movement. Mr. Luxon is for it, pro. As we know, our second finance minister in a row now, after Grant Robertson, our finances are in rainbow hands, and that's having a detrimental effect on our economy. So you've got problems there when your political parties, your political leaders, same with David Seymour and ACT, they're all pro the LGBTQI plus, or I'll just say alphabet community. And Winston is just, and New Zealand First seem to be lame at the moment. So that's why, Paul, we are the only country that still allow puberty blockers to continue to be dispensed to the youth of our country. We still allow the Inside Out operation, which is funded by many businesses in our country. Banks, including government corporations and agencies and departments, they fund it. So literally, the taxpayer is funding the sexualization of the innocence of our children and kids.
How seriously do you take what has come at you here? And you must have had advice on where this could go. What have you been told?
Oh, yeah. I mean, while you can laugh at it and think this is stupid, we take it serious. So I've already had legal advice, and we're moving in on it. And we believe that it could be a watershed court case. that will involve the whole transgender ideology and even the rainbow movement. So we're considering countersuing on the basis that we need to not just be on the defence, but offence as well. And we need to make sure that if they're going to go take us to court, High Court, then let's do that. Let's play this out publicly, nationally, and probably internationally, Paul.
Mm.
And I'm serious about having to deal with what I see as a threat to the Generation Z and Generation Alpha. That's my great-grandchildren, that age group.
This, you know, to maybe us slightly older types, kind of reared out of nowhere, it seems. It suddenly was upon us.
Mm.
How do you explain that? Because, I mean, you're a religious man, obviously, and many people are speculating, I guess, even those who may have not had to think about this question before, of where this comes from. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. There's a spiritual dimension to this, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. In 2004 and 5, Helen Clark was the politician that actually opened the door to this. And I did make, you know, enough is enough stand, was based on our faith, because they were going to equalise gay marriage with monogamous marriage. So I felt it was a responsibility to stand for marriage and for family values. I was never in a mode of hatred or hate against another group of people on their sexual orientations, never. They're free to do what they like. I don't take that away from them at all. Don't deny their freedom to live how they do. But this is now encroached into schools and public libraries. It's encroached right into their living rooms. And I said to the public of New Zealand in 2005 or 2004, this is the door opening to a far more serious, insidious social scourge, I called it, on our nation than you see right now. And that's exactly what's happened, Paul. And I think it's been in step with the decrease in our morality, our values, and our Christian ethics, and more that's been sidelined, thrown out to the side. It's given a lot more space for the rainbow movement, or the LGBTQI now, as we know, the alphabet community. And their agenda now has proliferated in the absence of strong families and moral values. Let's face it. We got liberal. We got loose at the edges. And now our schools are not safe to send our children to anymore.
I'm just looking at some of the detail here. So Torrance and Lockett, the parties involved, allege that you and Destiny Church's actions forced the cancellation of their shows, negatively impacted on their business, leading Erica Flash to move to London due to threats. I don't have a list of those threats. And there's also talk of one of your advertisements featuring a boy with a severed head and the tagline, "Time to Kill," which has sparked concern in the LGBT community, critics labelling it as potentially inciting violence. Do you want to comment about that ad and the "Time to Kill" quote in it?
Yeah, time to kill and a time to heal. I quoted a scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3. So it says there's a season and time for everything. And it goes through the list and it says there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to pull down and a time to build up. That's a scripture. And so in essence, what I was saying from the word of God, that there is a time to put a halt to some things. To kill is not literally to be translated or interpreted as that. And my whole story was couched in the story of the famous and well-known David and Goliath story. And we all know that one, where David, the underdog, killed a giant that was bellowing threats against his people and his nation. And what he did was he said that he would stand up and do something about the problem. And in the end, you know the story, he put Goliath on the ground with a shamai And for whatever you believe about it, then he took the giant's own sword and severed his head off. Gory, but it's biblical. And so that was my quote and my messages. And by the way, their names are interesting here. Erica, I have only referred to them as drag queens because that was the term that they went under. So it's interesting that they're coming at this lawsuit with their real names. By the way, the guy, is it Erica, the man who's dressed as a woman? He was leaving long before this lawsuit and our closing them down started. So he didn't leave the country because of any threat or any type of aggression. He was already leaving before we visited their storytelling efforts and libraries.
What is your level of confidence in the legal system here?
Well, that's a good question, Paul. If anybody should know it, I should. Faced four judges. To me, the judicial system is unpredictable. I don't know how that fares now with particularly Labor's term in government and for how long they've lined and layered bureaucracy and the judicial system, a certain political leaning. So therefore, it's hard to tell how a judge would make judgments on such cases like this, not knowing their background or what they believe personally and whether they would judge fair and see the on its merits, basically, and what we were doing. Everybody can see, and I guess any common sense Kiwi would see that this is not a valid business. We should never have had or allowed drag queens and a drag king to be in public places like libraries and schools, taking story times with kids, using the cover of storytelling to communicate gender ideology and sexual deviancy.
It seems that New Zealanders are pretty quiet at this stage about this whole issue. You'll be able to tell us firsthand the sort of feedback and what people are saying back to you and the range of people and comments that you're getting. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on why you think, and it's probably not just a phenomenon here, but why everyday people are kind of afraid to speak out in a strident way, because I think most of us feel that there's something wrong here. I'm going to say that. But it seems that no one really wants to go there at the moment. And, you know, you talk about the school situation, you know, that kind of staying willfully ignorant so you don't have to really think about it or confront it. What are your thoughts on that phenomenon?
My gauge on the public of New Zealand is I think there's been a huge support that's come our way in recent times. It hasn't always been like this, but I would say probably in this last year after the election, and as I've stood for the things that I've always stood for and spoke out for what I've always spoken for, the public, there's been a massive support pool that I've never seen before. And this is, I think it's coming from mainstream, everyday mainstream Kiwis. It's coming like I've never seen it before on social media and other platforms, saying I'm 100% with you, Brian. You know, I may not have agreed with everything you do with your faith side, but I agree with you standing like with this and with you. I was in the South Island recently, and I had two separate meetings from farmers who wanted to meet, and the hall was full. The halls, and I gave them a deeper understanding of what's happening with the generations of our children and young people today in schools. They were horrified when with interaction from graphics. It was revealing to them. And ignorance, when I say ignorance, the fact that this information is being veiled or hidden from them, they know about it, but not the depth of it. and the response from parents and in my sort of generation and the grandparents, they seem to take this really serious and they do not like it. They say they don't want to be publicly seen, and that's why I think they appreciate my standing and being a voice for them, because they are silent supporters. And when there's something, when the switch I think is flipped, they are ready to stand or support in whatever way that is. It could be by supporting by their presence, their you know, consent to whatever we decide that we're going to do. Maybe financially too. I've had a lot of help. People wanted to help financially. Lawyers that have contacted me, and everyday Kiwi families who have had a guts full of this, and they want it stopped. And so they're fully supporting our endeavours to get this government to see the light before it gets any worse, to do the right thing and shut this stuff down.
Brian Tamaki, thanks for coming back on RCR.
Thank you. No, thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.